The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. Amen. You know you're in for something good when we were talking about the message this week, and Sarah says, "Do you want me to preach with you?" That never happens. That never happens. So I'm like, "Yes, I do, by the way. I do."
And I thank everyone that works in the church that makes everything so beautiful. I mean, you know, we have so many people that do so many things. Amen. And, you know, it's not about the way things look. But when we're honoring God by kind of honoring his place, you know. And I have a lot of people ask me, "You guys don't have any crosses. Like, what's the thing?" I said, "We're not there yet. We haven't, you know, we're still in growth mode, you know, we're building mode, you know." But see, it's not about a cross on a wall. It's about the Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's begin. Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to come before you and declare your word across this region, Father. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to rightly divide your word of truth that we could apply it in our lives, Father. And as we apply it, that fruit of your Spirit is evident to all, Father. Especially in this season. Especially in this season where people are hurting and they become more aware of your being at this time of Christmas. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 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 And so, you know, if you were here last week, Sarah preached on being fruit inspectors. And that is a lifelong message. As you mature in the Lord, as you walk out this path he has for you, that's been one of the greatest truths I've learned is in my own life, you know, as I mature a little bit, I become more aware of the areas I'm immature. I mean, because the fruit comes out, it's like, oh, well. And so I have to step back and apply the same principles again, but sometimes, you know, I'm a kindergartner again, and I'm wanting a nap, and I'm whining, and, you know, and it's like, well, you got to grow up in this area now, Monty, all right, and that's okay, and you know what, it's always going to be that way, but being aware of that, I think, is the greatest opportunity to grow, just being aware that, no, you're not going to be perfect in this, because we're imperfect, but because we have the Holy Spirit of truth inside of us, those imperfections, he will perfect. He will perfect as we allow him. Amen? And so today's message is being a doer of the word. Because that's what that's all about. Let's be doers of the word, right? Which, I mean, if you hear that word, you say, well, let's go to James. Let's go to James 1. We're going to read verses 22 through 25 first in the New King James. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty." That's an interesting three words. It's a perfect law of liberty, right? "And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work. This one will be blessed in what he does." You know, we always talk about if you want supernatural results, you've got to apply supernatural principles. You have to. I mean, and if you're tired of the natural results you've been getting, which, I mean, how many people have been tired of their natural results? I have. And you get natural results, like, ah, why does this keep happening to me? Why does this thing keep breaking? Why can't this chainsaw just start? You know? Well, you got to apply some supernatural principles, right? And be a doer of that perfect law of liberty. You see, the word is the perfect law. The word. But by the Spirit applying his word, we have liberty. There's freedom there. Whew. And that takes the pressure off.
I've had a lot of conversations lately with Christians, a lot of them younger Christians who grew up in the faith. So they have a lot of knowledge of the word. They have knowledge of the good tools to use, more than I had when I was a kid. But they're struggling in their day-to-day walk. And as I was talking to them and talking to the Lord about it, he really opened up to me that whole knowledge is for sure the first step. But no matter how much knowledge we have, if we do not translate that into an action and we do not apply it and actively walk in it and actively practice it, that knowledge does not do us any good. And that is really a huge thing. If we stop and think about the areas that we're struggling in and go, okay, I'm going to be a fruit inspector here and go, why do I not have good fruit in this area? I guarantee you, if you ask the Lord, he will start showing you areas where you have not been applying the word, either because you didn't know, or sometimes we don't pay attention to what he says. Sometimes he has to say it to us a few times because we're his kids. Sometimes when we're first starting to get a concept, we have to hear it a few times, but we must take it from the hearing and understanding stage into there is an active action that comes from it. And when we start those actions, we usually aren't very good at them. We're in kindergarten. It's okay. We will be that way until he perfects us. There will be little areas in our lives or big areas that we're not doing so well. And that's his love taking us there and going, hey, I want to free you from this bondage. I want to free you from this pain. You need to obey me and do the thing I told you to do. And then you will start seeing that supernatural fruit.
It's, I mean, if you really look back even the last 10 years, we're always preaching the same thing. Believe God and obey him. I mean, if you take every single message for the last 10 years, it's the same message of what is he saying? Now, do I believe it? Meaning, do I believe that that this is his written word, that if I apply this in my life, I'll have supernatural results? If I believe that, that's the first step. And that's why we say, get your scripture confession books. Start speaking the word, speaking the word. And that's a first step, right? And you know what? I have to do it too. I have to. And there's times I have to do it a lot more. Like, I have to do it a lot more. I'm looking at my own fruit, and I'm frustrated, I'm tired, and I'm like, okay, this is not an abundant life. Okay, there's fruit inspection. Okay, so I got to go back to kindergarten. Why? Okay, I need to read some scripture. Okay, great. But then as I start getting into his word, the perfect law, and then the Holy Spirit leads me into the action of how do I apply this here, that's the liberty. Now I get some freedom in this area of frustration. I can rest. Because you guys realize a lot of the things we battle, it all usually is right here. Right? It's between my ears. Right? Because Satan's lying and the Holy Spirit's speaking truth. And in between my ears, it's like, what am I going to do? What, am I going to apply it? Or am I going to fall back into my flesh and kick and scream and throw a little fit? And sometimes I kick and scream and throw a little fit. Right? And that's the fruit, and I inspect that, and or my wife inspects it. It says, well, how do you like that? Well, I don't really like that. Okay, let's plant some different seeds. Boy, Misty and Jim just teed it up for us. Let's plant some different seeds. Seeds of righteousness. That's what 2 Corinthians 9. I mean, let's plant some seeds of righteousness so that the fruit that I'm inspecting are of that righteousness. Amen? I mean, and guys, application of his word, not just the knowledge, you know, because I can tell you guys, I mean, let's go back to sports. I can tell you how to throw a slider. I can tell you how to hold the ball on the seams, how to twist it at the end, hard as you can, and how to, I can tell you about it. I can give you guys lots of knowledge. But if I put you on the mound and just talked about it to you, the first time you do it, I promise it's not going to work out well. But you know what? The 10th time will be a little better. The 100th time will be better. The 1,000th time, it will be better. The 100,000th time, you'll be quite a bit better. And that's anything in your life. As you apply God's word, and the first thing, Satan wants to discourage you as you start, right? You first come to the Lord, you know, you start applying God's word. Or how about this? You've been walking with the Lord for 50 years and you see some fruit that you don't like. You say, okay, I'm going to apply the word here. And you stink at it. And what does Satan say? Ha, you've been walking with God for 50 years. Look at this. And tries to discourage you, right? And you can't look at that. You got to say, I want some freedom here. And I don't care if I'm 2 years old or 92 years old. I'm going to walk in the freedom that the Holy Spirit gives me. Amen? Let's read this in the Passion, shall we? James 1, 22, starting in 22. It says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessings in all they do. I like how that explains that. And you know, we always talk about here, you know, our message, loving God, loving people. That sounds really sweet. It sounds kind of touchy-feely, which really isn't me at all, touchy-feely. But if you think about that, you know, the scripture says, it's in John 14, 21, but he who loves me will obey me. Loving God means, okay, I'm going to take your word and apply it. That's obedience. I'm going to take your word and apply it. And then I'm going to apply it in my life where it affects other people. That's the loving people part. Yes. And it's not a touchy-feely thing, really. It's very much a spirit-led walk. That Holy Spirit of truth, you're going to lead me into truth. I'm going to be leadable. Meaning, this is how you're going to have me react to this situation. When I see myself not reacting the way you want, it's in the flesh, I'm going to recognize it, I'm going to admit it, and then I'm going to obey you, meaning I'm going to quit it. Whatever trigger gets me into that flesh, I'm going to recognize it and say, okay, Lord, there's something going on. And it may have been, you know, our psychologists and stuff in here, you know, they can tell us, you know, well, when you're a kid, you responded this way, and some patterns were formed. And that's true, because Satan's been working on you from the moment you drew breath. He's been working on you, trying to manipulate your behavior so that you'll succumb to the flesh, because he's a liar, a deceiver. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, that's the whole ABCs of salvation. Admit and acknowledge I needed a Savior, I'm a sinner. B, believe that Jesus delivers us from that. Mm-hmm. And C, confess that with my mouth. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart he rose from the dead, I will be saved. Boom, the Holy Spirit of truth comes inside of your spirit, completely sealing your spirit, making your spirit holy. Yes. Now you now have the ability to walk out that life of liberty. But you got to grow in it. And that's okay. It's not like God's up there going, oh my God, I'm God. Oh my God. Look at my kid. Monty's a big hot mess. Look at him. He doesn't do that. He laughs sometimes. He says, man, how you like that, Monty? I don't like it, God. He says, no, I didn't think you liked it. Are you going to do something about it? Because I've done everything you need. I've done everything you need, Monty. Are you going to allow my doings to pave the way of your abundant life? Are you going to allow that, Monty? Mm-hmm. Are you? Because it's a choice. Okay.
Forevermore, we will remind ourselves we have a choice in everything. We have a choice in everything. We cannot control other people, but we absolutely have a choice in how we act in every situation when we see that our fruit isn't what it needs to be. And I appreciated something Jim said a few weeks ago where he said, you know, I heard something come out of my mouth and I went, ooh, that doesn't line up with the word. He caught it right away. That's improvement, right? And then he said, I called it it to the ground. I don't agree with that. That was wrong. Lord, forgive me. And he took the steps to pull that nasty seed out so it wouldn't grow any nasty weeds. And then he was, instead of feeling condemned, which is so huge for us as Christians, oh, I did it again. He went, you know what? I don't do that nearly as much as I used to. I'm getting better. Those were all very biblical actions in a fleshly situation. Those were choices he made. And he had been putting the word into himself so that what was coming out was getting better and better over time. And it's just, it's so important to know through Scripture what the traps of the enemy are and what the actions of the flesh look like and what the gifts and promises of God are and what functioning in obedience looks like and the fruit of that.
It goes back to Galatians 5. It says to, you know, walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walking by the Spirit is applying God's word in your life. That's what that is. When people say, well, what do you mean by, you know, being Spirit-led, walking in the Spirit? It's applying God's word in your life. And it's recognizing, you know, because here's the thing. As you walk with the Lord, you say your scripture confessions, you're coming to church, you're praying, you're talking to him, you'll start recognizing the feeling you have, and there is a feeling because your soul has feelings, the feeling you have when the flesh is rising up. Oh, I recognize it. I know it. Woo! But I also recognize the Spirit saying, Monty, we're going to do something different than what you've been doing. We're going to retrain you. And you're going to walk in that peace we're talking about. And, you know, I had a person that I love. I love them. But one time they said, well, you can't preach about what you're going through. Don't do that to people. I have broke that law the whole time. Because I'm like, well, and I tried to like, okay, Lord, how can I do that? And he says, Monty, you ain't going to do that. That's not you. You're going to be transparent with people, right? Because I'm just like, y'all, I mess up too, right? I mean, but the key is when you mess up, the Holy Spirit will say, you messed up. Listen right then. Yeah. Right then, that's the key. It's like, oh, and then say, okay, how can I apply? And Jim made a great example. I mean, and recognizing that, he was transparent. Hey, I messed up with Case. I gave him a look, and I shouldn't have. That was my flesh rising up. I held my tongue because I'm not in kindergarten anymore. I'm in sixth grade, praise God, in this area. Well, hey, better than kindergarten. But now I want to graduate into the college level, so I'm going to recognize it was the look I gave. That was a great example. Thank you, Jim. Love you. I'm not picking on him because we're all there. And the key is not to be condemned when you find yourself in kindergarten. Recognize that you have an opportunity to grow out of that because you need that college education in this area to affect somebody else's life. And God's preparing you for it. And that's exciting, guys. That's why we're here, is to affect someone else. Loving God, loving people. The perfect love of God flowing through us and affecting somebody else. Right? That's what we're here for. Because how many people have some difficult relationships? And they want them improved. How are we going to do it? Applying God's word. Applying God's word to our life. Because I cannot control anyone else's decisions. Guys, I have been bombarded with crisis this last 2 months. I don't even know. I mean, I know it's the season we're in. I know it is. I recognize it. But there are crises in people's lives. There's crisis. And at the end of the day, I say the same thing over and over. Whatever situation you're in, step back and say, okay, Lord, how do I navigate? I don't ever tell them, well, you know what? You need to do this. You need to do that. Because guess what? Monty don't know. I don't know. But I know that there's a Holy Spirit of truth inside of you when you're saved. When you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit of truth is inside of you. He has the path of truth for you to follow in this situation, and it doesn't make any difference what anyone else does. Because I cannot control anyone else. And you know what? I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to get myself lined up with Him, applying His word, so that those relationships, good or bad, I can be before the Lord in honesty and say, Lord, I'm doing everything you want me to do. And I'm going to trust you to work this out.
Did you know that the Lord does not put provisos in the Bible? If people are treating you the way they should, then you should treat them the way that I say. He does not do that. His laws, precepts, and guidance are irregardless of how people around us act. Our responsibility of love to Him is that we learn and grow in walking in the fruit of the Spirit, regardless of what the person in front of us does. That is our responsibility to Him. That is what He calls us to do. That is what He did for us. Because we were sinners who didn't even know we needed Him. And He came down and He was perfect. And He chose to give His life and shed His blood to pay the price of our sins all before we ever knew we needed Him. That was His love. And He tells us that we can be like that. With His Spirit inside of us, we can give that to people. So whatever Ralphie Joe we're facing in our life, whatever financial issue we're facing in our life, whatever health issue we're facing in our life, His word, His promises are not affected by those things. His promises are affected by whether or not we agree with Him and do what He tells us to do. Other people, it doesn't matter what they do.
No. And that's a hard one, because I'm not, I understand, but Monty, did you hear what they did to me or said to me or wrote to me or whatever? Well, yeah, I saw it. And I was mad. Well, I'd have been mad too. But what do I do then? It says, be angry and sin not. I always used to say, I'm good at the first half of that scripture. Be angry, got that down, Lord. Got it. Know how to do that. How about the second half? Sin not. But I'm better than I used to be. I'm not in kindergarten anymore. And see, we can't be, guys, as we're moving to the end of the age. We're moving to the end of the age. It's so critical that we as the church walk out that Spirit-led life with the fruit of the Spirit coming out, because that world doesn't have any peace. There's no peace in the world, right? Really. I mean, people are agitated, anxious. I mean, it's high level, fired up, and texting and calling me, right? But the Prince of Peace gave us His Spirit. You realize it's His Spirit that He gave us to reside inside of each and every one of us. We have His Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. There's power in His Spirit inside of you, right? You got to recognize that. That's a responsibility. So now we're representing Him in our actions. So I've got to apply Jesus, which is the Word, right? Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. His Spirit is inside of me. Then He gives me His Word to walk out and apply, right? And then it's a choice now, okay? It's fruit inspection to understand. The fruit inspection is the big red light on your dash saying there's a problem. And now the Holy Spirit is the little computer that Chewy plugs in. Here's a little code. Oh, the Holy Spirit says, here's your code. This is why we got a problem here. Now, take this code, apply my word, right? Am I doing good as a mechanic? Am I doing good, Chewy? I don't even know what I'm talking about. You realize that, right? But I know then you take the word and apply it to that issue in your life, right? Holy Spirit led, right? Holy Spirit led, not by the law. Paul talks about, hey man, I was a Jew of Jews. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I had all of the knowledge you could imagine. And he says, I counted as rubbish. And he uses a stronger word than rubbish. He says, I count that, it meant nothing. Because there was a lot of knowledge there. It's 1 Corinthians 8, it's 1 through 3. Now remember, they're talking about a legal issue and a rule here. And Paul says, let me read in the Passion. He says, now let me address the issue of food offered to sacrifice to idols. Okay. It seems that everyone believes his own opinion is right on this matter. We've all been there, right? How easily we get puffed up over our own opinions. Look what it says. But love builds up the structure of our new life. If anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he still has a lot to learn. But if a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. Okay? And what I'm talking about is, it said knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. That's the scripture I'm talking about. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Listen, if I just study, you know, I go to a cemetery, seminary. Did I say that out loud? Seminary, sorry. And I have opinions about things. But the thing is, if I just apply a bunch of book knowledge, listen, I learned a lot of book knowledge, right? I have a degree in chemistry. Coach, I know zero about chemistry. And I have a degree that tells me I have all this knowledge. And yet, coach, I don't know anything about chemistry. Do you really want me to mix some stuff up in your lab? No. I'll blow stuff up. But here's the thing. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. What does that mean? That means love, obeying God, builds a structure in my life that we can now build on so that I can have that abundant life where grace is abounding towards me. I need his grace. I need it badly, desperately. I desperately need the grace of God active in my life. Not just for salvation either, guys. Yes, for salvation. Hey, if we're talking evangelism, like if all of y'all were just folks that didn't know Jesus, this would all be about Jesus. But here's the thing. Everyone in here knows Jesus as their Savior. And if they don't, you come talk to me right away after. Because you can get to know him right now, today. Boom. But let me tell you something. I'm talking to you because you know Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, whether you knew it or not. He's been there, and he has been active in your life. Hannah was talking about he was active in her life. He was active in my life, praise God. Now, because I'm aware now, and I'm trying to apply God's word in my life a little bit better every day, I'm more sensitive to his presence and his leading, and when I follow that, there's fruit of that. There's fruit of that. And then he convicts me when there's some yucky fruit. He doesn't condemn me. He tells me, Monty, you don't have to respond that way. No, I don't. There's a better way to do this. And it leads to liberty. That's the freedom. And how many people want freedom from agitation and anxiety? That's what the scripture talks about, freedom. I want that. And guys, the world desperately is seeking that right now. Desperately. They are desperate. That's a word. Desperate. And they don't realize that they're desperate for Jesus. But as we walk out this end time battle, with the peace that comes from Christ, right? The Holy Spirit leading us and the fruit of peace coming off of our living. Applying God's word. And again, this isn't a call to perfection. It's a call to look at Jesus, who is our perfection, who's the author and the finisher of what I'm believing, my faith, right? Applying what he has said the best I can. And when I don't, I realize, well, first grade kind of failed. I guess I get to do it again. It's okay. Miss Belcher will come and teach me first grade again. And I'll learn. The Holy Spirit will teach me. I'll learn. And then the next time I'll apply a little bit better. And a little bit better. And I'll keep recognizing the triggers that Satan has used from my youth. The triggers, there's triggers. Everybody has a trigger. That chainsaw is a trigger. But here's the thing. You recognize it. And you say, Holy Spirit, how do I apply your word in this area? Right?
You know, when I was talking to the Lord about this, he showed me that one of the big stumbling blocks for us as Christians, big surprise, is pride. When you have a fairly comprehensive knowledge of something in scripture, and then you find an area in your life that isn't functioning the way the word says it should, and you go and you start trying to apply the word, and you find out you are in fact in kindergarten, it's kind of a hit to the pride. I might be in a master's over here in my life, and I might have a master's worth of knowledge in this area that's not functioning well, but I have to be, my flesh has to be embarrassed and go, well, I'm really sucking at this right now. I'm really bad at this. I keep making mistakes here. And it definitely is a hit to our pride. And we have to watch out for that, because the Lord does not care. He does not care. And it's his opinion and his opinion alone that matters to us. He loves us no matter where we're at. And he wants us free in every area of our life. So let's go to kindergarten and be bad at our shapes for a while until we start getting good at our shapes. And pretty soon we get to move into first grade and move on up. Let's not let pride get in the way of what he wants to do in our lives. Let's not be embarrassed because we're beginners in an area of our life. Everybody's a beginner somewhere. We all are. I do not care if you have walked with the Lord your entire life. There will be an area in yourself that you're a beginner at. Work on it with the Holy Spirit. It'll get better. It's awesome walking with the Lord, because the things that kind of matter to us as humans do not matter to him at all. And his love covers all of it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.